Good morning. The parsha this week is Parshas Balak. We'll look a little bit quickly at the story and then try to zero in on one part of the story. The main question that we'll try and figure out and look at is, did Bilam's donkey really talk? We don't like to leave anything as simple as it sounds. So that's the question that we need to figure out, is did Bilam's donkey really speak or not? And then from there we'll try to go to some other places. Well, I don't know if we'll get there. Well, maybe we'll help answer some of the questions. So if we look at the beginning, we'll just do maybe a very, very quick synopsis of what happened starting on the beginning of 856. So Balak ben Zippor was the king of Moab, and he became afraid of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael were traveling through the desert. They were destroying everybody in their midst. And he was supposedly afraid that he was going to wipe out his country of Moab as well. So in Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Beor, Pesor Hashel anahar eretz me'amolik olo. He sends messengers to Bilam, the son of Beor, to call to him. L'imor, hineh, am yotzom mitzrayim, there's this nation that left Egypt. Hineh chisah sein eretz, and it's covered over all the land. V'hiyoshev mimuli, and sitting right next to me. I want you to curse this nation, because they're many, they're too many, they're more than I am. I'm afraid that they're going to be too powerful, but maybe if you'll be able to curse them, since you're this one whose curses I know work, then everything will be much better. And then they went, the elders of Moab and Midian, both men, they took their magical, ornaments, whatever they're called, along with them, and they came to Bilam, and they told over what Balak had said. And Pasuk says, rest here tonight, I'll tell you what Hashem tells me. It seems like Bilam is not going to go on his own, he's going to see what it is that Hashem tells him, what message he's given, and that's what he's going to answer them. And then at the top of the next page, Hashem comes to Bilam. So apparently Bilam is on some sort of level where God speaks to him. Who are these people? And he tells over the entire story that these people come from Balak, and he's been asked to go and to curse the Jewish people. Pasuk Yedbeis, Vayomer Elokim El Bilam. So God says to Bilam, Lo Seleich Imohem, do not go with them. Lo Sa'or Asam, do not curse the nation. Ki Varuchu, because they are a blessed people. So in the morning comes, Vayakam Bilam Baboker, and Bilam wakes up, Vayomer El Sarei Balak, and he tells the officers of Balak, Lechu El Artachem, go back. Ki Me'ein Hashem L'Siti El Elok Imachem, God doesn't want me to go back. Okay, and Balak sends another group to try and persuade Bilam. I'll give you a lot of money, but please come. And Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayan Bilam, and Bilam answers them, Vayomer Lavei Balak, Yimitani Balak, Lo Beso Kesef Zahav. Even if you gave me your entire palace, your entire house, filled with gold and silver, nothing doing. Lo Uchal, I can't go against what God tells me. To do something big or something small, there's no way that I can violate the word of Hashem. So wait here, let's see what God says. And here, in Pasuk Chav, God comes to Bilam, and he says, if the people have come to call you to come, kum lechi tam, you can go with them. But you should do whatever it is that I tell you. Okay, so there's been a little bit of a change now. Vayakam Bilam Baboker, and Bilam wakes up in the morning. Vayachavosh Asono, and he saddles up his donkey. Vayelech im Sarei Moab, and he goes with the people of Moab. Vayicharaf Elokim ki olechu, and God gets angry because he's going. Okay, we're not going to deal so much. Most of the first try to deal with the question of why was God angry with him if it seems that God gave him permission. It seems to be there was some sort of discrepancy between whatever it was that God allowed and Bilam's excitement to be able to go. But that's the question that many of the Mefarshim deal with. We're not going to deal with that. But the next part of the story was what we're going to try to focus on. But he said, "Save Malach Hashem baderech l'satan lo." And an angel of Hashem stands in the path in order to be an obstacle for him. V'hu rochev al asono, and he's riding on his donkey, u'shnei ne'arav imo, and he has these two lads with him. V'tere ha'asonas Malach Hashem, and the donkey sees the angel of Hashem nitzav baderech standing in the path. V'charbo shlufa b'yado, and there's a sword in the hand of the angel. So the donkey moves out of the way, goes on to the side. So Bilam hits the donkey in order to get the donkey back onto the path. Then they would get to a more narrow place between the vineyards, and there the Malach of Hashem was standing again with the sword extended. And the donkey sees the angel of Hashem and crushes Bilam's leg into the wall, moving towards the wall, crushing his leg into the wall, and he hits the donkey again. And then the Malach of Hashem again allows him to pass, and they go to another very narrow place. There's nowhere to go right or left, even with crushing Bilam's leg. So the donkey just sits down on the ground. And Bilam gets upset, he gets angry, and he hits the donkey with his stick. And God opens up the mouth of the donkey. And she says to Bilam, "What did I do to you that you hit me three times?" So Bilam responds, it happens every day, the donkey starts talking, so he talks back. So the donkey asks him a question, so he answers. So Bilam answers the donkey. He says, "Because you mocked me, what do you think you're doing? If only I had a sword, I would have killed you." So the donkey says to Bilam, "What do you mean? I'm your donkey. We've been together for so long. This is the way you treat me. Do you think that I would really do such a thing to you? This is what I normally do." And he said, "No." So God opens up the eyes of Bilam. And Bilam was able to see this angel of Hashem that was standing there with the extended sword. And he bows down. Okay, so it's a very strange episode that takes place here, this whole conversation between Bilam and his donkey. So the question is did Bilam's donkey really talk or not? So what did Psukkim say? Psukkim say he talked. Right, so that's what I would have thought as well. And that's how most Mefarshim understand, and we're going to look at some other Mefarshim and then try and also understand who exactly, or at least a little bit, who this Bilam character is. So the Ibn Ezra tells us as follows. He says, "Vayomer ha-Gaon." The Gaon said, the Gaon in the Ibn Ezra usually refers to Rav Sadia Gaon, one of the great early Gaonim. And in other places in Bereshit, it's clear that this particular statement that he's going to say right now is Rav Sadia Gaon. "Vayomer ha-Gaon, chivo dibra ha-ason." The donkey didn't speak. Okay, so there you go. There you have it. Rav Sadia Gaon says that the donkey didn't speak. Now, his only problem is that the Torah says the donkey did speak. So he says, "Rav Shmuel ben Chofni," one of the other people living at times of the Gaon, in Tafsa, grabbed onto him and said, what do you mean? Of course the donkey spoke. The Torah says the donkey spoke. "Rabbi Shmuel Hasfardi Bal Hashirim Chashav Lahatzil HaNitfas." And then Rabbi Shmuel the Sfardi, who apparently was a poet, wrote songs, wanted to help try and save the Nitfas, the one who had been caught, with whom referring to Rav Sadia Gaon. So Rav Sadia Gaon made a statement that the donkey didn't speak. He was attacked by Rabbi Shmuel ben Chofni, and then he was defended by Rabbi Shmuel Hasfardi. "Vida," and he says, "you should know, Ki anshei shiko hadas hutzrichu lehotzi hadvar mimashma'am. That those who are very thought out needed to try and remove the text from the simple understanding of the text. Why? Ki amru, because they said, Shashem lo yichadesh os ba'olam l'shanos haminhog shebara rak lahatzik nevio. Says that the reason that you need to reinterpret what happened here and you can't understand that the donkey really spoke is because Hashem would never make a miracle that undermines, that undoes something that he put into creation if it's not for the purpose of justifying something that a Navi said. If a Navi says to do, you know, something, or like let's say with Moshe and Korach. So in order to prove that Moshe was right and Korach was wrong, so Hashem would open up the mouth of the ground and the ground would swallow him up. But here, there was no point. What was, well, which is another good question, is what's the whole point of this miracle? Even if the miracle happened, why did it happen? God doesn't change nature for no reason. This is, if the donkey really did speak, so then it's an open miracle. What would the purpose of such a miracle, be? So that's the justification for those who understand that it didn't happen. We still need to understand, well, what do they do with the psukim? We need to understand something in terms of what the Torah is telling us. The Torah says that the Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey spoke. So we still need to understand what that means. Now the Ibn Ezra himself says, "V'lo amru emes," this all isn't true. Rather, he says that in fact Vayashar and the straight understanding is Tiha Ason Dibra, that the Ason, that the donkey did speak. And he's not bothered by the fact that it seems to be different than what normally what we find, that you need to have a justification for the nace, and we'll try to understand why that should be. And the truth is, Rav Sadia Gaon is not the only one who says that the donkey didn't speak. The most famous of those who says the donkey didn't speak was none other than the Rambam. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Beis and Perek Mem Beis, says that what took place between Bilam and the donkey was not an actual conversation. So what was the Torah said it spoke? It was a prophecy. It was something that Bilam saw. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'ason was the prophecy that Bilam was seeing. And the Torah records what it is that Bilam experienced as part of this Nevuah. The reason that the Rambam gives for why this is true, the Rambam says, is because, and this is the Rambam's opinion throughout the Chumash, is that it's impossible for people to see Malachim. There's no such thing. And therefore he pushes himself then to re-understand many parshiyos in the Torah, the most famous of which is Avraham Avinu being visited by three Malachim. The Rambam says it did not in fact happen. What happened there was a nevuah, that in a state of prophecy, Avraham experienced prophetically that these three malachim came to visit him, and the whole way that story unfolded, in fact, never actually occurred. Others understand differently. I'm not meaning to. She might have cooked, but she didn't have to cook that day, right? Everything that, again, many of the farshim understand differently. But this is the Rambam Lishitah, so this is the Rambam's opinion throughout the Chumash, that any time you have an episode which says that there's a malach involved, that could not have taken place because a malach could not possibly, malach can't take on a physical form. That's what we normally understand, is that normally malachim aren't able to be seen. But in such cases, such as the malach coming to, the three malachim coming to visit Abraham, the malachim were able to take on a physical form. It was, you know, for a specific time. I think that's the classic understanding. But the Rambam again understands that in fact was not the case. But again, so the overwhelming majority of the Mefarshim do understand that the donkey really did speak, as I think most of us understood probably before I started talking about 10 minutes ago. But but we do have the Rambam, and we have Rav Sadia Gaon both saying that he did not, in fact, that the donkey did not, in fact, talk. The other one who understands similarly is Rav Yosef Ibn Kazbi, quoted from him earlier in the year, also one of the Rishonim. We really only have his svarim on Chumash. We don't have his halachic works. But he also says something else. But he says it wasn't even on the level of a prophecy. He says it's more of a psychological reality, is that when a person is involved in something during the day, and a person is on the road, and a person is very weary, so then a person might have a dream at night, or if he dozes off, he'll have a dream that has something to do with everything that's going on. So he's had this whole, experience, whether he should go, whether he shouldn't go, and he's saddled on his donkey traveling, and he's exhausted, and in that exhaustion, he has vision of sorts. Again, but not in the sense of it being a true prophecy, but rather it just being just the normal way that people have, dreams and are tired along the way. Again, and the only question is, so why did the Torah feel necessary to record such a thing? So apparently, it's indicative of this tension that was building within Bilam, which the Torah wants to stress, which is that Bilam really wasn't sure what he should be doing. Should Bilam be going? Should he not be going? God gave him permission, but originally God didn't give him permission. He pushed God, and God was willing to allow him to go. Again, everything that we said many of the first time deal with, which we're not going to really focus on, but that the opening psukim of the Chumash of this parsha really set up, maybe that's part of this internal struggle that Bilam was having. And this dream that he would then have, that he sees a donkey speaking, would then just be part of this inner tension that he was grappling with. So that's the, again, at least we have these three opinions that in fact say that the donkey did not talk. But the overwhelming majority of Mefarshim assume that the donkey did talk, but again, we have these opinions. Now, there are just a few points that I wanted to try and clarify in terms of understanding why it is that they say this, and maybe some lessons that emerge from this, and then also just move on, at least according to some, try and understand a little bit who in fact Bilam was.
The Rambam says
that any episode that involves a malach, and since there was a malach involved in the story, again, which is even a little bit of a bigger chiddush than what the Rambam says elsewhere, because again, normally the Rambam is saying that the episode that takes place directly with the malach was a prophecy and didn't actually take place. Here, there was no malach involved in the conversation. The cause of the conversation was a malach standing in the road. That's enough to push the Rambam to then say the entire, just like that malach standing in the road with the sword was a prophecy and didn't actually take place. So the entire conversation with the donkey, which is part of this overall episode, also didn't take place, but rather it was a prophecy. And then we need to understand, which is one of the questions I want to deal with right now, is so what was the purpose of this nevuah? What exactly was God trying to tell him? So I think the most fundamental point that needs to be stressed, and I think this is very important, because opening up with questioning something which we've all assumed to be true for a long time, again, something I like to do a little bit, but it's something that we need to be careful about. None of the Mefarshim, as far as I know, none of the ones that I mentioned, say that the donkey did not speak because it's impossible that a donkey spoke. Nobody says that. Nobody says, well, what do you mean? We're modern rational thinkers, and everybody knows that animals can't talk. Maybe Mr. Ed, but outside of Mr. Ed, there's no such thing. There's no way that a donkey can talk. Nobody gives that as the reason. All the Mefarshim that understand that the donkey did speak is because they're bothered by something. The Rambam is bothered by the fact that there's an angel involved in the story and people can't see angels. And that's his opinion throughout all of Chumash. Rav Sadia Gaon is bothered by what's the purpose of doing such an amazing miracle. God doesn't do these huge miracles. You know, Kriyas Yamsuf, he did because he needed to save Klal Yisrael. That was necessary. But again, if you look at the story, why was it necessary in light of the story to have the donkey talk? What would have been different in terms of Bilam's traveling from, and what Balak was asking him to do and his original refusal and then his agreement? What would have been different about the story had God not made the donkey talk? And because God, and so that's the reason that Rav Sadia Gaon thinks that it's impossible to say the donkey actually talked. Not because there's no such thing as a talking donkey. Now what's very interesting is that the Abarbanel says that the donkey really did talk. However, the Abarbanel says that if you go all the way back to the beginning of Sefer Bereishis and you have a snake talking to Chava, the Abarbanel says, snakes don't talk to Chava. But why does the snake not talk to Chava? What does the Abarbanel say the reason is? What's he bothered by? He says, where is the exact language? He says, the snake did not speak at all to the woman, and not the woman to the snake, because a snake doesn't talk. Okay, and donkeys do talk. So again, the only one of the mafreshim that seems to ever have such an argument, well, it can't be because there's no such thing, is the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel here says the donkey did talk. So we need to understand the Abarbanel's opinion and why the Abarbanel thinks that donkeys can talk and snakes can't talk. That we still need to understand. That's going to be one. Snakes cannot talk, but a donkey can talk. Okay. That's why he understands that what happened with, we're going to try to understand it. That's why he understands that what happened with Chava and the snake was some sort of Nevuah type occurrence. It was some sort of prophecy, dream. We'll try and zero in on that a little bit soon. Figure out why. If you're walking around the street right now and I saw a talking snake or a talking donkey, I'm not sure if either one would make more of an impression than the other. I think I'd be surprised by either one. Others are bothered, and this is a more subtle point, and they don't necessarily see this explicitly, which is that the reaction, if it really was an actual talking donkey, Bilam's reaction is kind of funny, that he just answers. You know, he didn't yell, he didn't scream, he didn't run away. If it's a Nevuah, so we understand that, okay, it's part of the experience of prophecy. Not everything has to, again, haven't had prophecy recently, but presumably it doesn't have to make perfect sense. It has to be, you know God is sending a message, and however that message is delivered is fine. And therefore, Bilam's lack of reaction, at least as recorded by the Chumash, that he just has this, back and forth conversation with the donkey, does seem to make a lot more sense.
You also have the ability to understand
the
animals where other people,
there are animals. Right. The question just is that then what does it mean? Vayipach Hashem es pi ha'atzon.
Are you on Dr. Doolittle's page? I have read it, and I do believe that there are people who can.
Okay, and again, Shlomo Malka, the Gemara definitely seems to have stories of people understanding animals. But if that's true, that's not something out of the ordinary, meaning for that person, it's not something out of the ordinary. It's not something that the Torah would have had to introduced by saying Vayipach Hashem es pi ha'atzon, that God opened up the mouth of the donkey. That certainly sounds like an aberration. So maybe it's for all those who don't believe that you can understand animals, maybe that's what happened, that's happening here. But we'll try to understand. So again, the question that still needs to be understood is as follows. So again, so point number one is just that nobody says, it's important to, before you walk away with this, it's very important. Nobody says the donkey didn't talk because donkeys can't talk. Okay? We can also, if God wants a donkey can talk, the donkey can talk. It's for other reasons that they were bothered. It was that, why would Hashem make the donkey talk? It seems to be a completely superfluous miracle. Or because there's a malach involved, as the Rambam says. Those are the reasons that the Mefarshim understood that way. However, there's a major problem with understanding that the donkey did not talk. And as we'll see, I unfortunately don't have a very good answer for this. But again, the Rambam does say that this is true, so for the Rambam to try and explain it. It's an obvious question. I'm sure he has an answer. Unfortunately, I don't have a very good one, which is that we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Parakei tells us that there were 10 things that were created at the very end of creation, Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, Bein HaShmashos, right at the twilight period. There were 10 things that were created. The Mishnah Avos lists them off, and one of them was pi ha'ason, the mouth of the donkey. It seems to be a very clear reference to this episode. That again, and most of the first understand that it doesn't mean that the donkey that spoke to Bilam was alive from Sheshes and Mibreshes and it was this really old donkey. But rather it means that, and probably what most of the things mean in that Mishnah, is that as God was completing creation, He stuck into creation certain exceptions to the natural rules. Meaning nature is going to follow the course of certain rules, but built into nature, it wasn't that later He came and made an exception to nature, but God knew that later on there was going to be a need for the earth to open up to swallow Korach, or He knew there was going to be a need for Bilam to have, for a donkey to talk to Bilam, and therefore He ingrained at the very beginning of creation that there's going to be the potential for an exception later on. And that potential was created at that very moment, at the culmination of creation. God put into the donkey the potential that in the future there's going to be a donkey that speaks to Bilam. But according to the Rambam, what does it mean? That He had to put the potential to see such an nevuah into creation? It sounds very, very difficult. I don't have a very good answer to what the Rambam says about that, but it's an important question to understand, and it's an important proof probably for those who say that it, which is again the overwhelming majority of the commentators that do say that in fact the donkey did talk. The first place to look to get that understanding, besides the Torah, which again the simple understanding of the words that the donkey spoke, is to understand that what does the Mishnah mean? What does it mean that the Pi Ha'ason, the mouth of the donkey, was created if it's never going to in fact be used? So that's a question on the Rambam that we're not going to have really a good answer for. We have a question on the Abarbanel, which we need to understand, which is why does he think that snakes can talk and donkeys can't talk? And I think an important point will emerge from that distinction. And then we also have a question that, according to the most literal approach, which is the question that Rav Sadia Gaon asks. Meaning Rav Sadia Gaon understood that it could not have been that the donkey really spoke, because why would God do such a miracle? So we're stuck with that question, or at least the majority of Mefarshim, and the way we understood until now, we still need to understand that. So why did God do such a miracle? What's the purpose in doing this miracle? What would justify having such a, you know, an amazing occurrence happen if in fact it did happen? Okay, so those are the questions that we need to try and understand. So again, the question on the Rambam of how he understands the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in light of his understanding that the episode did not take place, what the creation of the Pi Ha'ason means, I don't have a very good answer for, so I think we'll just kind of leave that on the side. But the question I do want to look at is the Abarbanel. What's fascinating, again, is in light of that Abarbanel, since, again, in light of the Abarbanel that I mentioned before, the Abarbanel says that by the snake speaking to Chava, and again, the way the Abarbanel normally writes in his commentary is he lists off a large number of questions, and they're usually, you know, solid, you know, penetrating questions, and then he one by one tries and explains the Chumash in order to answer those questions. So in Bereshis he doesn't understand the entire episode, and he asks, well, snakes don't talk. So obviously the snake didn't talk. If you look at his questions on, he asks very good questions on our parsha as well. But the two most difficult questions that he seems to have are, Eich Yitachin, how is it possible, Sha'ason Tir Beines Malach Hashem? How could a donkey see a malach? Okay, but a donkey can talk, that's okay. But that a donkey could see an angel, you know, that's way out of bounds. So again, we have to try and understand where he's coming from. And the truth is, where he's coming from on that issue is the Rambam. Because the Abarbanel fully accepted what the Rambam said, that Malachim cannot take on any physical form. So that's why this question is particularly bothersome. It was bothersome enough for the Rambam that the Rambam just said the whole thing didn't happen. The whole thing was a vision, it was a prophecy. But for the Abarbanel, who will see for why it is that he can't accept that the donkey didn't speak, the angel aspect is very bothersome. And that's really what we said earlier in the Rambam as well, that the Rambam, if he had wanted to, really could have split the story and said that the angel part of the story was a prophecy, but the donkey talking, that it really did happen, because the fact that a donkey talks isn't bothersome, because God can do whatever he wants. But this, the angel bit
is too difficult. Not difficult. Dhamma just says such a thing does not exist. God created the world in a way that angels are never seen. So the Abarbanel, that's why the Abarbanel really is more bothered by this question, just to give credit to the Abarbanel. And then he asks the most fundamental question, again, according to him, that it did happen is why? What's the purpose of such a miracle? And he points out he's not oblivious to what the other Mefarshim says. He says, Ra'isi Mefarshim B'inyan HaZeh Ish LaDarko Pono. He says, I saw many different explanations, and each one went on its own path. And there are those that understood it, the most simple understanding, it happened as it says in the Chumash. And there are those that thought, that there's like the Rambam, that the entire thing was just a prophecy. And then he says, and then he has the third understanding also, which is that he was daydreaming, and people daydream about what's going on in their lives, and that's what happened. But then he says what's bothering him about all these psukim, and I think this is a really fundamental point that the Abarbanel is making. And he says, V'heim kulam be'enai derachim u'kalim, Makrishim Edus Hapsukim. And he says, all of these paths, all these alternatives to understanding what took place in this episode are all what he calls crooked paths that directly are refuted by the testimony of the Psukim. And he really says this in Sefer Bereishis as well. And right after he says that the Nachash and Chava didn't talk, again, for the same reason, he says, because snakes don't talk. He says that you have to realize she'ein ro'oi lahatrish sipur echav deklalo she'idu lo pshutei ksuve ha-Torah. He says, if the simple understanding of the Torah is such that it's obvious that something is true, so you can't do somersaults in terms of trying to understand it differently. So he says, when it says by the snake and Chava, it says this Vayomer, and they're having a conversation. So there are a lot of Vayomer. This Vayomer Hashem, God speaks to Moshe also. That's a prophecy. So Vayomer doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a prophecy. So therefore he says, I'll invoke my I guess rational understanding that it doesn't make sense that a snake is talking. Snakes don't normally speak. And I have no reason, it doesn't really go against anything in the Psukim. So why should I not understand that it's really talking about a prophecy? And with that, he answers other questions also that took place in that story. But he says, if I have a story of this donkey talking to Bilam, he says here, it says something differently. And he says, this is why. Why doesn't it just say, Vayomer ha'son, or Vatomer ha'son el Bilam? Why doesn't it just say that the donkey spoke to Bilam? Instead it says, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'son, that God opened up the mouth of the ha'son. Why does it say it differently? Ulazeh lo amar ha'chasov binyano vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'nachash. It doesn't say by the snake that God opened up the mouth of the Nachash. Kemosha Amar Ba'asum Bilam. Like it says in the episode of Bilam. Shesham Ba'avur Shehaya Dibar Ha'asum Kipshuto. In order to stress the fact that you have to understand the Pasuk according to the most simple understanding. That the donkey in fact did open its mouth and speak. That's why the Torah stresses Vayiftach Hashem Es Pi Ha'asum. That's why the Torah stresses that God opened up the mouth of the Ha'asum. Because it wants to show, don't misunderstand it. Don't think it was a Mara Nevuah. That's all those extra words in the Torah are for that very purpose. Don't think it's like the Nachash, where it's just Vayomer la Nachash el Chava, that they spoke to each other. To show how wondrous it was, it says, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'son. God himself came and opened the mouth of the ha'son. Aval b'nachash bo, the snake, lo amar shepasach es piv. It doesn't say that God opened up the mouth of the snake. It didn't speak. Because naturally it doesn't speak, and because God didn't make a miracle that the Ason, that the Nachash should speak. He understands that what happened was is that Chava saw the Nachash actually going on to the Eitz Hadas. the ochel miperosa pam achar pam, and the nachash, the snake, continued to eat from the fruits of the Eitz Hadas. V'lo yameis lo nizak, and the nachash didn't drop dead, and the nachash didn't get hurt. So isha chashva bazeh, and that led to her entire understanding, well, it can't be that it's that dangerous, and then that's how everything developed. But there was no conversation that took place. So again, it's not that it's easier to understand, according to the Barabbanah, that a donkey talks than a snake talks. It's that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that the donkey spoke. And therefore, he's even stuck in this quandary of having to split the story in half. That the part that takes place with the Malach, which is what the donkey saw, that was a vision. Because the Malach can't take on, an angel cannot take on a physical form. But the part of the story that has Bilam talking to the donkey, that it says in the Torah. That there's no way to get around. Vatzvayis Hashem es piho ason. So that's, I think, a very fundamental point that emerges from the Barbanel. The Barbanel says, and it's true in general, is that as much as we want to sometimes understand an episode of Chumash a certain way, there's a certain amount of allegiance to the text that we have to have. If the Torah goes out of its way to say that it spoke, it spoke. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why. So work on it. You have to figure it out. But you can't flip around the story merely because it's difficult. Excuse me, that it's difficult to understand. So the question that we're left with, and again in terms of the more fundamental understanding, and this is according to the Barbanel also, is why was such an ace necessary? So the Ramban says, the Tam Anesa Zen, many other Mefarshim seem to echo this understanding of the Ramban, that the reason for this nace, Laharos the Bilam, to show Bilam, Mi Sum Pel Adam O Mi Asumi Lame. Who is the one who allows for people to speak or who makes them mute? Lehodia to show him, Ki Hashem Poseach Pion Ne'alom, that God can open up the mouth of even those who normally can't speak. The Kol Shekein, and certainly She Alein Birtsono Pion Medabrim, that God can certainly silence those who normally do speak. And similarly, he can put into their mouths what he wants them to say, which is ultimately what's going to happen to Bilam. Because everything is in the hands of God. And this was really Bohem, and he was in a certain sense giving Bilam one last chance to turn back and to realize you should not go ahead with this mission, you should not try to curse Bnei Yisrael. But the question that's left is what Reb Sadia Gaon said, which is that it's not just that there has to be a reason for the nace, but that God normally only does a nace if what's going to happen with the nace is going to be matzdik the Navi. It's going to make the Navi look better. Actually, the person is on a certain level. So who is this Bilam that he's on such a level that God wants to give him this extra chance? And that's really, I guess, the final question we'll talk about for a little bit, is who exactly is Bilam? So on the one hand, many there are really different approaches that you have in the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim, I really think that Bilam was not a Navi, that he was some sort of magician. He was some sort of sorcerer. God put certain powers of magic into the world, and he knew how to tap into them. And he really didn't have very much power, and God didn't really speak to him. But he knew how to read the stars or all these different types of magic, astrology, and the like that existed at that time. And the Gemara says that he had the ability to sense the moment at which God was angry, and if he cursed the people at that time when God is angry, so the curse came true. So his talent was more that he had the ability to curse if that element was there. If he realized that the person had the potential to be cursed, so he could mete it out. But he wasn't this amazing person. The problem is that in Chazal you really get a very almost contradictory view in terms of the scope of who Bilam was. You have a medrash that comments, the pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, "V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yidao Hashem panim apanim." There never was a prophet like Moshe amongst Bnei Yisrael with whom God spoke face to face. Says the medrash, "The Yisrael lo kam." The Jews never had a navi as great as Moshe. Ava b'umos olam kam, but the goyim had, the non-Jews. They had the nations of the world had a Navi as great as Moshe, Umanu, and who was he? Bilam. Whew, that's pretty good.
Bilam on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Other midrashim seem to indicate similar types of ideas, that there were certain qualities of Nevuah in terms of knowing when God was going to speak to him that Bilam had and Moshe did not have. On the other hand, we know throughout Pirkei Avos, when we point out the paradigmatic Rasha, the evil person whose traits we should not follow and whose poor traits we point out, is Bilam, and not just regular Bilam, Bilam HaRasha. He earned himself a title of being the evil Bilam. So the evil Bilam is on the level of prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on here? It seems to be very difficult. And it's more than that. The Chazal and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, I mean, really go to town and try and talk about how terrible, in fact, Bilam was. And they say that, you know, normally you shouldn't try and look for more terrible things about a person. When it comes to Bilam, you can build upon, and then the more terrible things you can find, you know, the better, and it's not a problem. So that's Bilam. And then there are other midrashim that are, again, in terms of the positive, you have that the Avos Reb Nosson says that he was Nolad Mahol. He was born with the Bris Mila already, which is a trait of Kedusha that's attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it seems very, very difficult and very, 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 very confusing. And even the way that Bilam seems to be able to address God and speak to God in this parsha, it seems to be that he had a very special relationship with Hashem. So what exactly is going on here? So maybe the idea is as follows. The Gemara says that the reason, let's see exactly where the language of that Gemara is. Why was it that Bilam had Nevuah? The Gemara says that in the future, the nations of the world are going to come and come to Hashem and say, how can you punish us for anything that we did? You sent your prophets to Bnei Yisrael, and that always brought Bnei Yisrael back if the Bnei Yisrael were sinning. So the prophets would come, and the prophets would rebuke the Jewish people and would encourage them to do tshuva and to come back. And you never sent us a Navi. So therefore Hashem says, what do you mean? I sent you a Navi. I sent you Bilam. Bilam was your Navi. So okay. But the problem still is that you're right. Maybe it's the Rashi Hashem this part. Maybe Rashi says that. Rashi, I think, quotes this Gemara. Sorry. So, yeah, okay, just to get the words of the Gemara, Rashi on Pasuk Hey at the beginning of the Parsha says, "Vim Tomar Ifnei Ma Hishra Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shchinoso Agoy Rasha." Why did God put His rest His holiness, His Shchina, on this wicked non-Jew? Kadei Shelo Yehei Pisun Peh LaUmos Lomar, that there shouldn't be an excuse, the potential for an excuse to the nations of the world, in order to say, "Ilu hayu lanu neviim," if you would have given us prophets, "chazarnu lamutov," then we would have come back to the good. So hami bohem neviim, so gave them prophets, named pirtzu geder haolam, and they made things even worse. And the example that he gives is in fact Bilam later on, who gives the advice to Balak that, you know, if we can't curse them, so send the women after them, and if there's more immorality in the world, that ultimately will be the downfall of Klal Yisrael. So not only did he not bring the people back to tshuva, but he brought more immorality into the world. And the question really is, well, okay, the goyim will still have an excuse. Okay, you gave us a Navi, but you didn't give us a Moshe. So that seems to really be the opening of really who Bilam was, is that Bilam was given the potential, and even in terms of the quality of Nevuah, again, whether exactly it's like Moshe or had the potential to be like Moshe, it's something very, very similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because of this very reason. Had God not made the Nevuah, the prophecy of Bilam, similar to that of Moshe, the same excuse exists. You're right, okay, throughout time,
the Nevi'im, the prophets that went to rebuke Bnei Israel and bring them back to Hashem, may not have been on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's almost always rooted in the fact that, well, we know Moshe brought us down the Torah, and we know that we fully believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no questioning the Nevuah of Moshe. So when the Navi comes to bring us back to that Nevuah, we're in better shape than if just, you know, a regular prophet comes and reports and tells them to come back. So in a certain sense, in order to get rid of this excuse, God needed to give a special sort of prophet. And that was this opportunity that Bilam was given. And apparently is what was unique was that Bilam was given all of this from the beginning. It was Nolad Mahol. He started out almost in the same beginnings, born with having already been circumcised. He started out with a Kedusha that had the potential to reach levels, again, exactly similar, very close to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, at some point along the way, Bilam used everything that he was given, and God was still talking to him on this level of Nevuah. Normally, Nevuah is something which is earned. The person has to be on a certain level. But again, since the purpose of the Nevuah of Bilam was to show the nations of the world that you had the opportunity, and it still didn't help anything, so God spoke to him even if he wasn't deserving of it. What happened? So all of those Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos always tell us what the Midos of Bilam were. And it was those Midos that had the potential to be used as every Midah. Any character trait has the potential to be used in the positive, or it can be used in the negative. And that's the way you find the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which juxtaposes the Midos of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Avram and the Talmidim of Bilam, really are the same Midos, just, again, used with the same type of quality, just one that can be used for good, or something that can be used for bad. What are the Midos that are ascribed to Bilam HaRasha, again, the Mishnah in Avos, in Parakei, Mishnah Yutes? So the first one is Ayin Ra'a, the bad eye. And the most of the Mefarshim understand that means that he was a chomed mamon, that he had a desire for money, desired money. And that's really what you see, and that's how many Mefarshim deal with the fact that in the end he decided to go, and why he was pushing, because as much as he said, if Balak gives me his storehouse is full, I'm not going to go, ultimately it seemed like he was very happy getting a lot of money. And once you have somebody, again, you know, you have, on the one hand, you have a Moshe Rabbeinu, for him the money was meaningless, and you have a Bilam who had that same potential, but what did he use it for? He used it for this desire for money that he had, so that undid that potential that he had. It could have been used for good, but no, he decided that he's going to use that ayin for Ra. The second one is Ruach Kavoa, that he's a Baal Gaiva, he's a haughty person. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anav of Mikol Adam. He's the most humble person that's ever stepped foot on the face of the earth. And you have Bilam, who's defined as a person who's a Baal Gaiva. So again, he had the opportunity to grow and in the ways and similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, but he didn't develop that quality. And in fact, he maybe abused that potential and turned himself into this Baal Gaiva. And the final one is the Nefesh Rechava, this broad spirit, which the person there understand as being that somebody who has a desire for physical pleasure. You have Moshe Rabbeinu, who had no interest. In fact, he was the exception. We spoke about it a month or two ago, a little bit, about the fact that he separated from his wife. Again, it's not the norm for even a holy Jew, but again, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was different. But again, somebody who certainly wasn't using his life in order to pursue pleasure. And you have Bilam, who was the opposite. You have Bilam, who was the one who everything was about pleasure, which is again what the advice that he gives at the end of the parasha in terms of sending the women after the Bnei Yisrael. And then you have the strange again. It helps give a little bit of understanding of what Chazal is trying to teach when Chazal explained that he had a very close relationship with his donkey. And when the donkey was saying, "What do you mean? We're close." It wasn't just that they had been his donkey for a long time, but they were, again, much, much closer than that. And the arayos and the immorality that existed for Bilam was something which knew no boundaries. And again, it was, I think, ultimately boils down to this point. And it was for this reason, So it boils down really to the point that Bilam was given the potential to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was, and the reason for it again is that the nations of the world don't have any excuse. It wasn't that I only gave the Jews a Moshe, I didn't give you anything similar. No, you had that potential, but you and the Navi ruined it. You didn't develop it in such a way. And even when I gave you the prophecy, I didn't even take the prophecy away when Bilam didn't develop those character traits. But I gave you the prophecy, and look what the prophecy led to. It led to an increase in immorality in the world. And maybe that helps explain that final point that Rav Sadia Gaon made. That Rav Sadia Gaon said, well, how can it be? We only have a nevuah when it's to justify what the Navi says. Well, maybe here it's a similar type of idea as well. Is that Hashem does the miracle, because if Hashem wouldn't do a miracle to try and help the Navi, when he would do a miracle to help Moshe Rabbeinu, again, last week's parasha, in order to squash this rebellion of Korah, he does a miracle which supports the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is in fact the true leader of Klal Yisrael. Had he not stepped in and done a miracle and changed nature in order for to try and stop Bilam, like the Ramban says, but if he wouldn't have done that to try and help out the Navi, then maybe that would still give this excuse to the almost soul. Again, the whole nature of Bilam is this almost parallel world to Moshe Rabbeinu, which he had this opportunity to try and reach levels similar. But again, as you know, when you have two lines that begin at the same point, but there's slight, the angle you know moves a little bit to one side, and as it moves along, it divides further and further. So as Moshe, again, they started maybe together, but as Bilam begins to diverge, that difference, the discrepancy between the greatness of Moshe, or between Avram, between the greatness of these Jewish leaders, and between them and Bilam, becomes that much more exaggerated. And maybe that's why the Mefarshim understand that the episode did take place, is not even in violation of this rule of Rav Sadia Gaon. That in fact, the same way that miracles were done to support the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, a Nevuah was done to support Bilam in his role as Navi, to give Bilam this chance, because he's the one who always needs to be given that chance in order to make sure that ultimately at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can judge and again, Hashem knows that it's just, but he can even refute the claims of the Umos HaOlam, of the nations of the world, that they weren't given the chance, that no, you were given the chance, and in every way that I ever gave the Jews a chance, I gave you that opportunity with Bilam, but instead of turning into a Bilam who could have been Bilam quote-unquote Rabbeinu, he turned himself into a Bilam HaRasha.